We will no longer pay respect to these relics because their respect is now my respect. There was no passing of the torch. I took that torch and I used it to burn Kane and to burn Undertaker straight into ashes.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Welcome to Monday Night Raw!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
You're scared. I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Because we all need some Becky Lynch in our lives. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Raw Post Show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to YouTube.com. This is MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. This song gets me hyped up. Yeah, yeah, yes it does. Joining me as always is Lindsay Ward.
At least something got us hyped up, because dang. Oh,
dang. Dang is the polite way of saying what in the blue hell was that?
Somebody was high. I think more than one person was high when this show got written. I want the creative team drug tested. Is that possible? Can we demand that? Are they within the wellness policy? Does anybody know?
I do not know if they are under the wellness policy thing. I don't know if they fall under that jurisdiction. I don't think they do.
I tried really, really, really hard to like this show. Like, seriously, really, really hard, and Nope.
So here's the thing. Going all the way back to the start of our conversation, Lindsay, from earlier tonight, the opening segment was amazing.
Told you.
Compared to...
Sitting here disparaging Kane, Sheamus and Kane's stolen suit gyrating with New Day. And I'm like, no, that's pretty good. It's pretty awesome. And then the rest of the show happened, minus Charlotte and Sasha and Brie and Becky and Boo Boo and the kids. Just the rest of the show was just...
This show was a head scratcher.
Oh my god, this show. I have words for the show, but I can't utter most of them because they're profanity. Sucks.
It does suck. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. We are the most positive people you know. We believe in this show. And this show was just throwing things up against the wall, and it just sort of... Nothing really stuck.
Okay, before we continue, I do want to say this. Out of this show, and in general, bless Sheamus. Bless him so hard. Because he's in an awkward spot. They made him champ because they basically did not want to put it on Roman, or they weren't ready to put it on Roman. They burned the money in the bank to make Sheamus a transitional champion because somebody had to take the belt from Rollins because Rollins got hurt. So I guess they figure it's more of an epic win if Roman beats somebody. I don't know. But bless Sheamus, they made him champion and he's owning the ever-living crap out of it. He has the exuberance of a 5-year-old that just makes you smile because he's going out there and he's so happy that he's champion and he's in the spotlight and he's just having fun with it and you can tell.
That's the positive you could take away from the opening segment because the New Day was out there. They did some sort of Dragon Ball Z thing, and they just... I don't watch Dragon Ball Z, so I didn't get the thing, the fusing, but it was the New Day, and they were okay. They weren't the best they've ever been. I think they dragged a little bit, and they took shots at the Steelers, and, you know, all that fun stuff.
Savior, honey, what in the hell makes you think the Falcons are any good? Like, he actually said the Falcons are better than the Steelers. Did you watch the Falcons' last couple games at all?
When you go by the records, they are.
Yeah, no.
Record-wise, they are.
No.
Record-wise, they are.
No.
So New Day came out, they brought out Sheamus, big whole celebration. He owned it. He thanked the authority, he thanked Roman Reigns and all this fun stuff.
There was gyrating. Sheamus stole Kane's suit, got it resized. He did not have the hawk up in the suit, which was a blessing. He did have the septum piercing and he did have the little dangly bits, but the hawk was smoothed over, which looks like some weird ass Donald Trump slicked back hairstyle. I don't know.
He was corporate. He was the corporate shamrock.
Being the corporate shamrock.
Hashtag that. That's a thing Lindsay created. Corporate shamrock.
Hashtag corporate shamrock. Yep.
It's a thing. I dig it. Like, for everything Lindsay said, I was not entertained, but I will give Sheamus credit for owning it, for trying to make this segment something. It was better than it should have been.
You know, again, I enjoyed this simply because I appreciate Sheamus's effort. I appreciate New Day's effort, because New Day especially, they're basically going out there and they're doing whatever they want to try and get themselves over. And Sheamus is, you know what, I'm in an awkward spot, the title's gonna come off me really, really soon, so might as well enjoy it while it lasts kind of deal. And he's just owning the crap out of it, which I can't fault him for, and the four of them together is kind of hilarious. But this, yeah, the opening segment, it was a bit long, it drug a little bit.
It could have been 5 minutes shorter and it would have been fine, but it just sort of dragged on and on and on, and it's like, me being not entertained by it is one thing. The people in the front row were looking at their phones.
Yeah.
They checked out 5 minutes into the show. That's not a good sign.
No, you don't want that. People checking out 5 minutes in. That's, yeah. That's not good.
Okay, so we had the big celebration. We had the confetti. We had all that. Then through the confetti and the celebration, I almost said confederation, Roman Reigns showed up, came out, gave a Superman punch to Sheamus, and laid him out.
That was the right thing to do with Roman. You have Roman come out, he gets a little bit of comeuppance on Sheamus. He grabs the belt and he leaves with the belt, which is something he learned from Dean. Obviously, Dean is a wonderful influence on Roman.
Yes, and speaking of which, we went backstage. The Usos, Roman, and Dean were all hanging out. And Triple H goes, I want the belt. Can I have the belt? Can I have the belt? And Roman's like, you know, he starts to go, no, you can't have it. And, you know, Reigns told Hunter to tell Magic Mohawk that he's taking the title back at TLC, and he eventually gave it to Stephanie, not Hunter, so, you know, you're building tension there. And, well, Hunter said he just spoke to Sheamus, who said he wants to defend the title tonight against him, and, well, Reigns agrees, and, well, Hunter then said the match is on, wish them good luck, and, well, then Stephanie said, Sheamus, you have to beat Sheamus in less than 5 minutes and 15 seconds to win the belt.
And, oh yeah, by the way, Dean and Usos, if Roman loses, you lose your title shots.
Yes, Dean has a title shot coming up against Kevin Owens, and she just mentioned the Usos getting a title shot. Well, they fought the Lucha Dragons to a double disqualification when the New Day interfered, costing both teams the shot in the number one contendership, which then was made into a triple threat match.
So, why would you have Roman be cocky here?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question.
Beyond, he just knocked out Sheamus, he just stolen the title. Okay, those circumstances. But it's like, it feels like they're trying to book Roman as an underdog, but they're not writing him as an underdog. And it's like, you should have had Roman go, that was for Survivor Series.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, and it's, you should have had Roman be the badass. You should have had Roman, it's like, he can be confident, but you shouldn't have him be cocky. You should have him standing there and being like, I don't give a crap what you think. I don't give a crap what Sheamus thinks. I don't give a crap what anybody thinks. This title is mine, and I'm going to take it back at TLC, or tonight, or whenever.
Right.
Where it's, you just have Roman be that badass that we all know he can be. And you actually have him be a little bit intimidating, as opposed to, you know, Dean Ambrose and the Usos behind him making faces, because that didn't really help matters.
No, it didn't.
I had issues with this segment. I don't like the fact that they're using Dean as Roman's little sidekick. I really don't like that. I keep hoping that they're setting up for something between Dean and Roman in terms of an eventual feud between the two over something. I didn't like the way the offer that, or what Hunter said to Dean, where it's, well, if Roman loses, you lose your title shot. I feel like you could have done more with that opportunity and basically looked at Dean and put Dean in a really awkward position of, oh, hey, well, if Roman loses, we're not going to have a number one contender. Well, then, how'd you like to be that number one contender, Dean?
Yeah, make him the number one contender. Throw him in that spot. And it would drive a wedge. Does he, you know, want his friend to be champion? Or, well, what if he loses?
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you can have Dean do the honorable thing and he helps Roman or he stays out of it. But it's like, they can do so much more with Dean Ambrose. And we talked about this before we came on the air, where basically you could make Dean Ambrose almost like Edge when Edge blew up, and that is have Dean Ambrose be the ultimate opportunist. Because Dean Ambrose didn't come there to be mediocre. He didn't come there to be Roman Reigns' wingman. He came there to win.
Yeah.
He came there to be the best, and so far Seth has excelled, and Roman is getting pushed, and Dean is being left behind. So just to me, it kind of irritates me that you take somebody as good as Dean Ambrose is, and you reduce him to nothing more than Roman's wingman, when you really did not do that to Roman. Like, Roman's there, he supported Dean when Dean was going for the title, but you didn't reduce him to a sidekick for Dean.
Right.
Which is what they're doing here. So it's like, didn't really care for that. Usos, it's kind of a wash, but I don't know. This was the start of what?
All right. Well, let's continue this and move on to some other things. With Sheamus and Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, again, he has to win within 5 minutes and 15 seconds. Instead of having Roman Reigns destroy Sheamus in 5 seconds, this match went with chin lock, chin lock, chin lock. Sheamus runs, chin lock, chin lock, chin lock. Sheamus should run and Sheamus should do the chin lock. Great, it doesn't do anything for Roman Reigns. With 55 seconds to go, Rusev attacked for the disqualification. Del Rio and Barrett came out to help. Then you had the Usos and Dean come out to make a save. And at this whole point, before they came out, before the good guys came out, we were introduced to the new League of Nations, which is King Barrett, Del Rio, and Rusev, along with Sheamus. So we have a new stable, the League of Nations. That's cool. That's fine. It's about time they put them all together.
Right.
And to shout out to King Kittens, who sent me the comment. where's the token Canadian? Apparently Canada doesn't count in this League of Nations.
Sami Zayn hasn't come back yet. Give it time.
Well, you could have put Kevin Owens in there. He would be the Canadian.
No.
He is Canadian, though.
He is Canadian, yes, but Owens doesn't need to be a stable.
No.
Owens needs to be his own.
No, he doesn't. So, this will lead to a main event, which we'll get to here in a bit. Going back through some of the other things that happened on the show, including the Dudley Boys came out, and they had a message for the Wyatt family. they came out, and they were talking about where they had four tables against the ropes in Black Cloth. Bubba Ray spoke about the Wyatt family laying in the leg of Raw and double chokeslamming him through one of the tables. Bubba said the Wyatts made a name for themselves, but they didn't get the job done. Bubba said they were ready to fight at any given moment, and they basically called out the Wyatt family. Before they did, they had four tables, as I mentioned, with names on them. Strowman, Wyatt, Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan. They had a big table for Strowman. Big table. Made sure to get the big boy. For him, and they upped the production value from TNA. They used duct tape and regular marker for it, rather than spray paint.
Slightly different, but the same. Just enough to avoid a lawsuit.
Yes. Bray Wyatt said he accepts the challenge on behalf of his family. He told them to be careful about inviting the devil into their backyard, because he may like it and decide to stay. The Wyatt family moved closer after the flashy thingy, and well, Bubba stopped them and said they have their family, and well, they have their own family as well, which saw the return of Tommy Dreamer.
We all thought it was Spike. We were all very disappointed.
We were
and excited at the same time. Because, it's Tommy. Oh, hey, it's not Spike.
It's not Spike. I swear it was going to be Spike. But Spike would be tossed around by Braun and he would die.
Which would be highly entertaining.
It was highly entertaining for years in ECW when he got tossed around by Bam Bam Bigelow. So this would have been fun, too. So we had a six-man tag. Luke, Eric, and Braun taking on Dudley's and Tommy Dreamer. This ended into a no contest when all teams went, hey, chaos, we fight, boom. And then Bray Wyatt say, boys, get the table. So they bring in a table. He's ready to go. Come on. He's directing traffic. You put him here. You put him here. Let's do this. And then Bubba gets up, pushes Bray Wyatt through a table, and the Wyatts go, not our Bray! And they start to run after him.
Yeah, Bray goes ass first through a table. Luke's on him first. And what he does to help is he intimidates the announce team.
Mm-hmm.
Eric is actually making sure Bray is okay. And Braun's like, what do I do? What do I do? I screwed up. crap, what do I do? And then Braun just like proceeds to pick Bray up because he doesn't know what to do. It was the most horrifying and adorable thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like, aww. But so I have this question. If they're taking it from TNA and it's basically the same storyline, does that mean we get to go to the compound? Is Abigail going through a table?
Maybe. I thought Bray was the Dixie in this group, but apparently not.
He
was the first one to go through a table.
Yep. So who are they building to?
I don't know. So with Tommy Dreamer involved, does that mean we're going to get another ECW original and Rob Van Dam at some point?
We could just bring back an ECW original for the Wyatts until TLC.
One more week. Run through some matches. Dolph Ziggler beat Tyler Breeze. Sad face.
Tyler got a jobber entrance. It so sucked.
Goldust lost to Alberto Del Rio.
Poor Goldust. He just can't hold himself up.
Sasha beat Brie Bella.
I needed more of this. And when I say more, like 20 more minutes of it.
I would agree with you there. Sasha was like, oh my god, Sasha's on my TV. I can be interested. Because this was a bright spot. This was a really big bright spot because we sat here lamenting the show and it's like, oh, it's Sasha. Okay, this is going to be good. We can watch this. All right, cool.
Yeah, it's like, Sasha boo.
Could have gone like 10 more minutes and I'd been so cool with it. So cool with it. So on the Raw pre-show, they had Becky and Paige talking and Paige was sort of putting it in. Becky's like, here, you should fight your buddy Charlotte and sort of start attention. And then Becky went up to Charlotte and said, we should have a match tonight. And Charlotte was not really all for it, but it's like, we're in NXT, we should have a match. Just me and you not for the title, so we'll just have a match. So we had a match. And this could have gone another 15 minutes, and I'd have been awesome with it too. It went like 5 minutes. Charlotte beat Becky Lynch. Ric Flair was at ringside. And Charlotte pulled out one of Ric Flair's old moves as they were having a good competitive match. Charlotte sold her ankle injury, and well, Becky turned to talk to Flair. Charlotte got up and rolled up Becky for the win.
Dirty pool, Charlotte. Dirty pool. Just adds more flames to Paige's fire of, oh, hey, Charlotte cheated. So could we see a heel turn for Charlotte in the future?
The promo she cut later, right after the match, backstage, where, you know, I was trying to toughen you up. You know, this is the big leagues. This is NXT. Teaching you a lesson. That was the best promo by Charlotte in a long time. She was confident. She did what. There was no moment where she looked like she was going to cry, which is awesome.
She sold it.
She did sell it. I'm going to ask you this one question. What the hell's a rosebush?
This is the point where I started questioning whether or not the writers were sober. This was not everything else. This right here.
No, you were questioning it for a while. This just made it.
Re-sized it. Yeah.
Yeah. Made it very, very clear that it was. They were kind of high on this one. And then it led to something with Stardust and Titus.
I don't know.
The kinky
Stardust and Titus were getting kinky.
Stardust is a kinky reindeer?
I guess. I don't know.
I really.
I got nothing. I mean, I seriously have nothing.
So this show also saw the return of Lana. Hey, Lana's back.
Yay, Lana.
So they had this angle on Miz TV, and I'm going to sum it up like this. Lana and Rusev have really, really hard, passionate sex. And they never had sex with either Ziggler or Summer. They never went all the way.
The Bulgarian panger.
Hashtag it. That sums up this segment.
I have no words for this segment other than, can we please just stop the pain? Please.
Oh, go ahead.
Can we just stop the pain?
Oh, going back to the rosebush, whoever had to Photoshop Ziggler's head onto Lana, body laying in bed with Rusev, props. Dude or dudette, but that was creepy.
Mad props, mad respect, super creepy, but mad respect.
So, this brings us to our main event. It's this 8-man tag team match, League of Nations taking on the Usos, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose, till the New Day say, nope, we talked to the Authority, now we're part of this match, so it's 7-on-4, and it's a match. One of the Usos has a leg injury, and everyone's down, and everyone's fighting, and it's a fine match. It went on for about 25 minutes. A very, very long match.
I will say, bless Dean Ambrose's little black tank top.
That's true.
And, you know, honestly, with New Day coming back out, this was a little bit too much New Day. Because it's like, they opened the show, they were at the midpoint in the tag match, and now they're in the final segment, where...
They were in 4 segments.
Yeah, it's like, they were on a lot tonight, and it was like, that was just, it's like, I love New Day as much as the next person, but that was a little bit too much.
But 40 minutes of the New Day is a little overkill.
Yeah.
I know you don't have a lot of people, but 40 minutes of the New Day is a little too much. Like, we didn't need a lot of New Day. And in the end, Sheamus hits Dean Ambrose with a bro kick, and the League of Nations and the New Day pick up the win.
Poor Dean.
Poor Dean. He's the one who has to take the fall for his team, as Roman sits there and waits and is shocked. Oh my god, my buddy. What about my buddy? Oh no, my buddy. Someone save my buddy. I should have saved my buddy.
And I don't think it was so much, oh my god, my buddy. It's, oh shit, we lost.
Again.
Damn it, Dean.
Damn it, Dean. You should know better. You should be better. And then after the match, Roman Reigns tries to make a save, goes after Del Rio, but, you know, there's so many people in the ring, I don't think he could really get the advantage.
No, I don't think he could either. It was kind of like, just, he was outnumbered between New Day and the League of Nations, which is really awkward because, it was really kind of awkward to say, and then, you know, it didn't help things that Sheamus kind of took half his face off afterwards, and yeah.
Yeah, it just sort of was a, yeah, whole lot of things. So that's how we end Monday Night Raw, and that'll do it for the Raw post-show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Kind of a change. We are not live Thursday night, though.
No, we're not. But tune in because, well, we've got Trouble with a capital T joining us as we spoke with Ethan Carter III regarding his upcoming title tournament matches, his cats, bottled water, and a lot more. So you don't want to miss that. We're also going to be talking NXT. I'm sure we'll have a discussion or two, but plenty more. So Thursday, the rack will be available for download. Are you airing it?
No, it's available for download. Download only. Podcast, December 3rd. Ethan Carter III on the rack. At Rack Radio Show on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. RackRadioShow.com. We have also announcements on that show as well. So tune in. Saturday at midnight is CB Rated, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, CB Rated Live on Facebook and Twitter. Go back and listen to last week's episode. We talk about greatest 80s movies, a weird sex toy, and Subway Rouse expert NFL picks. CB Rated Live, midnight-ish, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio previews WWE titles, letters, and chairs. 10 p.m. Eastern. Maybe a Raw post-show, I don't know yet, next Monday night, but most Mondays, Raw post-show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, at Wild Talk Radio on Facebook, or on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. Give us a tune in Stitcher to search at Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And don't forget to check out The Rack this Thursday, podcast only, for your downloading pleasure.
Thanks to PW Mania Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. That'll do it. We'll see you for the rack. Maybe next Monday night. We'll see what I'm doing. I don't know yet. Maybe a show of some sort. Tune in. Stay tuned. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. We're here all week long. Along the words of the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com.